Welcome to the Invest Like a Boss podcast.
I'm Sam Marks.
I'm Derek Spartz.
And I'm Johnny FD. We're self-made entrepreneurs who invest our own money and use modern technology to invest like a boss.
Join us each week for exclusive interviews with our network of modern investors, business owners, and multimillionaires to discover new ways to invest our hard-earned cash.
Hey, bosses, and welcome to episode 280 of the Invest Like a Boss podcast. I'm in Kiwi Crane. Derek is in his Malibu podcast studio. Hopefully, it's going to be there for a while.
I hope so. I'm leaving for a couple weeks, and I hope it's still here when I get back. Although, things not related to the podcast have been happening here, so I don't know. It's been weird. LA, we've had a hurricane. We had an earthquake on the same day, and who knows what's next. How's it looking there in Ukraine?
You know, it's actually a little bit safer here so far, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, totally. Well, I'm on my way down under to Australia. It's gonna be fun. I'm gonna run the Sydney Marathon this weekend, so as this show airs, I think I'll be there, and then I'll be doing a couple iLab interviews while I'm down there as well.
Well, that's pretty insane. I hope you didn't put that on the iLab expense account.
Only part of it. I have a nice new pair of shoes to run with. Thanks, Johnny. All
right, we'll treat you to 1 4 and 20 meat pie while you're down there. How about that?
Sounds like a deal.
Speaking of deals, today's episode is all about assets versus liabilities. You'll be surprised how many people don't realize what the actual difference is. A lot of people confuse the two. A lot of people think that having something means something totally different. And actually, this was inspired by an interview I heard with The Game. Do you remember this hip-hop star? What was he famous for?
I actually know him very well. He was part of a radio startup out here in Los Angeles when I first moved here. And he would come into the studio quite often. So I've actually met him quite a few times. Cool guy.
Okay. Well, what was his most popular tracks? I mean...
He had, oh my God, the song with 50 Cent. Can't believe I'm blanking on this because I definitely know a lot of his songs.
Okay. I mean,
Hate It or Love It was a huge one.
Yeah. Let's take him back. This is The Game, 50 Cent, Derek on the radio. Got Johnny FD rapping here about liabilities. I think that's all we can play, but... Yeah, The Game definitely was very, very popular. I don't know about now how much money he makes. Probably not, you know, that much anymore. But maybe he has some royalties still coming in, which would be an asset. But here's a little interview that I saw while scrolling through Instagram Reels or TikTok, whatever it was. And I was confused because I couldn't tell. Actually, let's play this clip in full and then we'll come back and we'll discuss it.
All right. Here's the clip with The Game.
Quick Google search. It says The Game's net worth is $10 million. Accurate or inaccurate?
It says that?
Yeah. $10
million. $10
million? Celebrity net worth. $10 million.
Yeah, that's inaccurate. I got like a $2 million shoe collection. And I live in a $5 million home. And that's just that and that.
That's seven right there.
I got two baby mamas, three kids, a kid going to Oregon, like, you know, out of state.
Tuition.
I got on a Supreme shirt, some Gucci pants. You know what I'm saying?
The bus down Rolly.
A bus down Rolly, grill. I'm in a G-Wagon. That's one of seven cars or eight. I don't know. I got four motorcycles, a boat. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's all, man.
All right, so the first thing he opens with is actually his shoe collection. It wasn't even the house. Let's talk about that first. This would be an easy one. Shoe collection, asset or liability?
It depends on who you talk to. And I know the kind of shoes that he has. And, you know, it's a lot of Jordans, things like that. Those guys are crazy. Have you ever been around a sneakerhead, Johnny?
I've heard of them. I'm not friends with any of these people.
Okay, look up this guy that this is the reason I met The Game. His name is DJ Ski. So DJ SKEE and then type shoe collection. He's got one of the biggest shoe collections in the world. And this is kind of how he got famous, was getting in with all those guys. So this is like a legit business in certain parts of the world, especially Los Angeles. It's like a huge thing here.
Yeah. I mean, I don't doubt that it is, but here is why it's not necessarily an asset. Okay. Let's put it this way. It's not a liability.
Unless you wear them.
Because... I mean, if anything, they just kind of, you know, they kind of just go to zero if you wear them and use them, or if no one wants to buy them. But if they're bought in cash and they're not on credit or something, which I doubt they are, it's an asset. It's just not worth as much as you think it's worth unless you sold all of them now. Because, and I'll give you a really good example. My cousin is a comic book collector and seller. He sells them on eBay. He sells them in comic book shows. And if you ask him how much, how much is his comic book collection worth, he'll say $100,000. And that's him calculating if everyone actually bought the comic books for what at the retail. Market rate is today at retail. Or whatever the today's market art is. So if he listed all of them and he found a buyer today, yeah, he would have $100,000. But guess what happened the last few months or this last year with the comic book market?
I think like any kind of market, they changed like drastically a lot.
It tanked. So his collection of comic books is now technically a liability because it's sitting in his house, possibly deteriorating. It's a fire hazard, right? Talk about, your inventory being flammable, taking up a space. So it's actually costing him money because he's using one of his bedrooms as just storage. So he has to be in a bigger house just to store it.
If you see these guys' shoe collections, they have entire rooms dedicated, and not just like a little, like a walk-in closet, like a huge room, like the size of someone's apartment.
Yeah, so I take it back. They are a liability because they're not producing money while they're sitting there. They're just potentially costing money for storage, also for, a potential loss. And it's only an asset if you actually sold it and actually got the money for it, and assuming the market doesn't go down, which it could.
Yeah, and here's one thing I just thought of too, Johnny. What were like the hottest shoes going like 4 years ago? They were Yeezys.
Yeah. Now, what are they worth now?
Yeah, exactly. Think about Kanye now. No one wants any of that. Adidas is having trouble giving those shoes away. And those were $200 to $400 shoes.
So on this topic, let's talk about other collectibles. What are those things that a lot of like celebrity DJs have in their house? They kind of look like figurines, but they're like 3 feet tall.
Funko dolls, those little ones, or the 3 feet tall.
Like, it could be 1 foot tall, it could be 3 feet tall. It's like it could be like a Mickey Mouse.
The first thing I can think of is these Funko dolls that everybody's getting. Have you seen those things?
Funko, let me have to look that up. Funko dolls. No, that's a new thing. I'm talking about more like, imagine a big version of this, but it's like people just display in their house. I remember like Ben Baller or something had like, had them all over his living room, and they're hundreds of dollars a piece.
Oh, I just looked up Ben Baller's, whatever they're called. Bear Brick, is that it?
Yeah, maybe.
I've never seen these. I can only imagine. They look expensive, though.
Yeah, I'm looking at a photo of his house right now.
There's some that are in the thousands of dollars. It's like a...
Why? Why?
I don't even know how to explain what this is. It's like a Mickey Mouse meets a teddy bear meets a statue. I don't know.
Yeah. I just Googled, why is Bear Brick so expensive? Because they're rare and exclusive. Oh, God. They're stupid. These are another form of being a liability because, yeah, I guess if you actually sold it and someone actually bought it for market rate, then you can say it's an asset. But if you have $1,000 worth of these, don't include that into your net worth. Like that's it's potentially worth something like any other collectible. But just like your Yeezy collection, it could be worth nothing tomorrow. And if you don't have a buyer, they're just taking up space and costing you money.
Yeah, I think you gotta put the collectible stuff basically in the hobby category. Don't ever use it as like an investment. There's so many examples out there. Like think of Beanie Babies back in the day.
Yeah, and you know what? This is where some things like NFTs, definitely, and a lot of cryptos. You know, people who are very bullish on Bitcoin are going to hate it if you say it, but Bitcoin is a collectible.
I think you'd get a pushback on Bitcoin itself. I think there is a little bit of an argument for a use study on Bitcoin, but basically every other cryptocurrency, I'm 100% in your corner on. It's kind of a token novelty.
Yeah. So from your memorabilia, your trading cards, your comic books, your antiques, your clothes, your fashion, and your $2 million sneaker collection, that is a liability and not an asset. Let's play the next section.
And I live in a $5 million home.
Okay. He might have a case on this one, Johnny. He says he has a $5 million house. And luckily for us, everyone loves tracking celebrities. So you get to find out every time they bought a house. The only house I can find that he's bought in the last basically decade was back in 2013 in Calabasas, which is, you know, pretty famous for like the Kardashians and all that stuff. If this is the same house he's talking about, he bought it in December 2013 for $1.55 million. So we're going to assume that's the house he's talking about, and went from 1.55 10 years ago to $5 million now. So what do you think? Primary house, asset, or liability?
Let's first talk about the price. You know, the housing prices have gone insane in the last 10 years. So I can definitely see it now being worth $5 million. I don't know. Is there a site that you can just plug in the address and get a quote?
Oh, I guess I could Zillow it if I could find the actual address here. Okay, so I can't find the actual address. I'm sure it's out there somewhere and someone has it. But I did look up the median price per square foot in Calabasas in that neighborhood. And currently it is $709 per square foot. And we know that his house is 4132 square feet. So that puts it at 2.9 million. So it would have doubled in price. It could be five. I don't know. Cause you know, if it's a gated neighborhood, celebrities flock to that kind of thing and they'll pay extra. But let's say on the low end, it's worth $3 million. He's doubled his money in 10 years.
You know, on one hand, that sounds very impressive. And this is why a lot of people end up buying real estate, is because they always hear about someone's housing doubling in price. But what people don't realize is any investment that's making, let's say 7%, you know, growing by 7%, whether it's an index fund or if you have the stock market or nowadays, even in like a high yield CD, every 7 years, your money will double. So if he had it in something else, it would have doubled anyways.
You know what, that's a good point. Yeah, it took him 10 years to double his house, and he would have did it 7 years in the stock market.
Yeah, and meanwhile, while living in it, it's a huge liability. It costs a lot of money to upkeep. Property taxes on that are probably insane. But what do you think it is per month, just on kind of fixed costs?
Standard California property taxes are 1% of the purchase price per year. So that would put it at about $17,000 a year. Now, I think it gets... don't quote me on this, but I think you get reassessed. So if the current value is $3 million, his property taxes essentially would be $30,000 a year.
Well, luckily in California, they actually don't reassess unless you refinance.
Oh, good and I to think know.
They do it because the property prices change so much and they go up by so much that nobody would be able to afford to live there.
So he's paying about $1,500 a month alone in property taxes.
Yeah. And when you have a big house, that's not your only expenses. So he has a liability, a payment of $2,000-$3,000 a month just to live in that house that he owns. So as much as people like to think their house is an asset, and in some ways it is, right? The equity that you have in it, you know, you could take a loan against it, you could sell it and make that. But while you're living in it and it's not earning you money, it's technically a liability.
Yeah, and let's not forget that he probably did not pay for this house in cash. So if he took out a 30-year mortgage at today's rate, that puts him with a payment of, this is before taxes and everything, about $10,700 a month. So if you take $10,700 and times it by the full 30 years, which is how many months? 360 months. That house ends up started at $1.6 million. You pay $3.8 million at the end.
Yeah. I mean, that's why houses grow in price, because most people just end up spending it in interest.
You're giving it all back to the bank.
Yeah. I mean, that's another topic for another day. Houses could be a great savings vehicle, like a forced savings vehicle. But in general, no, it's not an asset if you're living in it and it's not earning you money. It's not a rental property. It's not a business. If you're living in a house that is bigger than, you know, you actually need, it's a liability for all the other reasons we talked about: property tax, insurance, you know, maintenance, all that stuff. So I'll give him a partial credit for this, but yeah, that's definitely not $5 million.
Let's move on to the next one. This one I think is definitely a liability.
I got two baby mamas.
Two baby mamas.
that's a liability right there.
I mean, 100% that's a liability. He's spending money on child support and who knows what else, thousands of dollars a month. This is when I realized, I was like, maybe he's not actually arguing that he's worth $1 million. Maybe he's arguing the opposite, unless he's just bragging that, you know, he has so much money, he even pays for two baby mamas.
I don't know. I bet you that check every month really stings.
Yeah, but if he's paying, but yeah, definitely a huge, huge, huge liability.
And then next up, along with those two baby mamas, between them, he has three kids.
Three kids. A kid going to Oregon, Like, you know, out of state commit
tuition.
You know. Yeah, kids, 100% liability. You know, great to have. You know, you can, or someone can argue that kids might take care of you in the future, so that could be a potential asset. But in general, you know, for the first 40 years of their life, they're a liability.
Yeah, totally. And he is off the hook, I guess, with the baby mama for one of the kids, because he said they're now in college at the University of Oregon. But he also mentions the fact that out-of-state tuition is not cheap. So this is last year's tuition, so it's probably went up even higher. Guess what the out-of-state rate per year is just for the University of Oregon? This is a public school, keep in mind.
Oh, God. If it's more than 10 grand a year, it's not worth it, but it's probably...
It's more than 10 grand per year if you're in state. Out-of-state, it goes up dramatically. $41,700 to go to the University of Oregon per year.
That's a liability. I mean, some would say that's investing in your future, and that's an asset, but it's a potential.
You're walking out, let's say you graduate in 4 years, probably $160,000. Are you going to make that up in your first job?
I don't know. Well, you know what? Actually, this is an interesting topic. Your university diploma, asset or liability?
For me, it's been a liability. I've never had one person ever ask me where I went to school. I probably could have said I went to Harvard and no one would have ever asked either.
I showed my degree the first job I got, but they didn't really care. It wasn't in the subject I was in. They honestly didn't care. Like they were more interested that I worked at Best Buy and I got Rising Star Award.
I found experience and connections so much more important, at least in the things that I've done. Obviously, you know, if you're going to be a lawyer, a doctor, engineer type thing like that, you definitely need the degree and you have to have that. But if you're going into other, you know, ventures, I think there's an argument to skip school or maybe go to a trade school. You can make so much money in the trades now because people just don't want to do that kind of work anymore. There's so many other options. And I think people are just pressured to go into college because they just think that's what they have to do. And it ends up being a huge mistake for a lot of people.
I think it's that. And also, I think a lot of people are a bit lazy where they don't want to start working right away. So they want to go have fun and live the college lifestyle. But anyways, let's save that for another episode. Is college worth it? But yeah, the kids definitely a liability. And I just want to pause and say liabilities are not necessarily a bad thing. Like it could be worth it. Having kids might be worth, you know, it might be priceless to you, the experience of having kids. Owning your own home might be worth it to you. But we can't lie to ourselves. It's still a liability.
I totally agree. Speaking of liabilities, we got to pay some of our liabilities off. So let's take a super quick break, Johnny, and then we'll come right back. Hey, bosses, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. The show will be right back.
I got on a Supreme shirt, some Gucci pants. You know what
I'm saying? The bust
down Roly. A bust down Roly grill.
All right. So we just came back listening to his Supreme shirts, his Gucci pants, and his Rolex. What are those?
Well, first of all, he said he has a bust down Roly. Do you know what that means?
It's a broken Rolex?
Not quite. They actually kind of break it. Have you ever seen those Rolex that all the rappers wear and then they're filled with diamonds?
Uh-huh.
So that means a bust down Roly. Because essentially they just drill holes in this beautiful Rolex watch. Rolex does not do this. I don't think they are very happy that this gets done. A second party, like a Ben Baller type, will drill actual holes into the watch and insert diamonds all around it.
Oh, so they just like
essentially ruin a Rolex. Yes.
Oh my gosh. You know what? Now I'm confused because I thought for sure. This was where he was trying to argue that he's not worth $10 million, that he has a busted Rolex. But now it sounds like he's bragging that he has a bust down.
Yeah, bust down is like
a Rolex.
Bust down is a move up, actually, according to them at least. Some of these watches are ridiculous. If you just Google bust down Rolex, I'll throw some examples in the podcast notes too. If you guys aren't familiar, the cheapest ones I'm seeing are like $50,000, and they go up to $200,000+.
This guy, I don't want to call out the game personally. First, I don't want to get shot. Secondly, it's not just him. It's millions of people in the world have this mindset where they think that having an iced out, busted down Rolex on their wrist worth, you know, $1 million means they're not worth $1 million. It's a huge liability. It's and absolutely
wear that watch in Los Angeles. You probably will get shot too, because they're going to grab it off your wrist.
Yeah. And I guarantee he has to pay insurance on that. I guarantee that if he loses it, he's screwed and he's out that money. It's just, it's a liability. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts around it. It's a liability.
Yeah, I 100% agree. There's those like watch collectors. We've had a watch episode. It is really interesting. And the market went crazy during like COVID because everybody was staying home and they were spending extra money. Look at the Rolex market now. It's dropped 20-30%. And those are just on like factory Rolexes that keep their value pretty well or usually appreciate slightly. I don't think you're going to get a watch that was, you know, manipulated by some jeweler to ever go up in value.
Yeah. And I guarantee those jewelers that are hot for, you know, a month or a few years, once they're not hot anymore, or once they're found out that they're using, you know, some fake diamonds, even if they just use it for one person and they got found out, the value is going to go down because they're going to assume that they're all fake.
Oh, yeah, totally. I'd like to see the percentage of the diamonds that are actually real in some of these. I feel like maybe just some of the outer diamonds, they use real and then they use fake ones inside and they charge full price. I don't know. It just seems like such a scammy world.
Well, diamonds in general, asset or liability?
I think that's a liability because if you look up, we don't want to go too deep into the diamond trade, but supposedly, De Beers?
De Beers
has vaults and vaults and vaults of diamonds. You could swim in them like Scrooge McDuck.
That they just keep them off the market to artificially inflate the prices of the diamonds that they sell. And I think they sell more than 70% of all the diamonds in the world. It's a scam. Diamonds are not forever. Diamonds were not a traditional engagement ring until De Beers started making commercials about them and started paying Hollywood actors to wear them and propose with them. It's all a scam. Anyone who buys a real diamond and especially the, you know, how many months paychecks? Is it 3 months paycheck?
Something like that. Up. Yeah.
That's all made up. And synthetic diamonds are just as good now.
Yeah. They can make them in a lab now. Like,
yeah,
it's wild.
That is a huge liability. Imagine wearing a $20,000 rock on your girlfriend's hand and you're out in public with her. Guess what? Physically, that's a liability because someone might try to kill her or rob her or kill you because they think it's worth something. And have you ever tried selling a diamond on the secondhand market? They're not worth anywhere near what you bought it for.
Yeah, it reminds me of like, do you ever watch that show Pawn Stars, Johnny? Like they always offer like half price of what the value supposedly is. And a lot of these people take it. And I'm like, wait, why? But now I understand because... Have you ever tried to sell thing on your own? It's a pain in the ass.
Well, especially something like a used wedding ring. Who wants to buy that?
Yeah, that's weird too. You'd have to like take it apart and just melt it down, the gold. And then, it's not worth the hustle and the pain. Like you said, you're a friend of the comic book collection. Like that's not going to, if you're going to take the time to sell it full retail and maybe get it, it could take years and years to get that.
Yeah. And a diamond, I will guarantee you, you will never get your full retail back for it. If you pay 30 grand for your diamond, you're lucky if you can get 15 like the next day. It's much worse than anything else out there, except for maybe the other thing he mentioned, clothes. What can you get for used clothes? Whether it's Supreme or Gucci or whatever it is. Can
maybe get a small tax write-off. Although when I tried that, my accountant said, just throw that away. It's not worth anything.
Yeah. So the clothes, definitely 100% liability. If you bought it, if you owned it, how much did you say? Did you say $2 million worth of clothes or $200,000? Whatever it is, that money is gone.
Totally gone. 100% gone. Hopefully he had some influence and got some of that stuff for free. The average person isn't going to get that, but it's clothes. You're never going to come out ahead on clothes ever.
Oh, but you know what? You brought up a good point. Influence, his status, his brand, his name. Is that an asset or a liability?
Totally an asset until, you know, today's world, he gets caught up in something. He's had his fair share of controversies, I think. But the rappers get a pretty good pass on things. But like we said with Kanye, you know, your brand, he had a billion-dollar brand. And look at him now. It's you know, awful. So that can change in a second, too. But, you know, obviously there's something to be said about, you know, your status as a celebrity.
Yeah, definitely agree.
Next up, our favorite subject, Johnny. He talks about his main ride, the G-Wagon.
I'm in a G-Wagon. That's one of seven cars or eight. I don't know.
cars in general, they're absolutely a liability. I think in the last couple of years, people have gotten confused because they were able to buy pretty much any Toyota truck, like a Tacoma or something, and be able to sell it for the same or maybe even more after driving around for a few years. But aside from production issues, that's not the case. As soon as you buy a car, you lose at least 30%, and every year you lose more.
Yeah, the last couple of years were definitely an anomaly with vehicles, and we're seeing that fade away now. Car prices have dropped significantly, especially in the used car market. And the worst hit is luxury cars. I mean, they're going to drop half their value in 2 years, minimum.
And even while you have them, especially if they're not under warranty anymore, they're a huge liability. Every time you bring your Mercedes into the shop, that costs you money.
$1,000 minimum.
Yeah. Tires, expensive. You know, brakes are expensive. Everything's expensive. So if you have a car, yes, it can have a lot of benefits of taking you around, giving you a lifestyle. You know, maybe you need it. Maybe you understand, like, hey, you know what? I understand it's a liability, but I need it. But don't add that into your asset column and you're calculating your net worth. It is absolutely a liability.
Yeah. And the G-Wagons, if you're not familiar what a G-Wagon is, I'm sure you've seen one. It's basically what like all the rappers have or a lot of celebrities have them. List price is like $150,000 for a basic one. And these guys aren't getting the basic one. They're getting the big AMG one that's like 200,000 plus. And then what I've also heard recently too on the G-Wagon itself is dealers are asking for a minimum $50,000 markup. So it's a $250,000 car.
Yeah, it's insane.
I got four motorcycles, a boat, you know what I'm saying?
Cars, boats, motorcycles, off-road vehicles. Could be fun, all fun. I love cars. I love doing stuff, but I understand it's a liability.
Yeah, he said he has four motorcycles and a boat as well.
I would not be calculating that into his asset column.
Yeah. And then what's the acronym for boat? I think it's like, so you get bust out another 1,000. So every time you need to get fixed, boats have so many problems and they're such a pain. And you got to pay to park them and they're awful. Rent a boat every time if you want to go on a boat.
Yeah. Or better yet, have a friend with a boat.
Yeah, totally.
All right. So I think that was everything that he mentioned. Let's add it up.
So he claimed even before he finished the list, like the way he was talking is like, oh, I'm already way over 10. I don't get 10 out of this.
I feel like he was trying to say I'm way under 10 and that's all I have. Like, and I couldn't try to figure out why he would brag down until I searched around and I realized some people are trying to sue him and try to get money from him. So that they're saying that he has $10 million. So that's what they're trying to sue him for. And he's on here arguing that he doesn't even have that.
Oh, 50 Cent kind of did the same thing. Remember, he filed bankruptcy maybe 5-6 years ago, but then he was on Instagram, like with stacks of cash. Like, and then the judge was going, if you're broke, how are you around all this cash? And his Instagram actually got him in trouble for that.
I mean, couldn't he just say it's just fake money?
Yeah, I think that was his argument. But he was I don't know how that actually turned out. I think he actually was granted bankruptcy. But there's no way, you know, it's kind of like Trump filing bankruptcy like 6 times. Like, he's not broke. It's just a tactic.
To move it around, yeah. So I guess that being said is, how can you have more assets than liabilities? It's actually the calculation of what your net worth is. You know, put it down on a spreadsheet, you know, or you can go on a live interview like the game did and start listing things off the top of your head and list everything that you own and put it either in the assets or liabilities category. Also write down if you own it outright or if you owe money on it. If you owe money on it, it's probably definitely a liability unless somehow it's gained in value so much, like a house or something, that it's worth more. But that difference between what you own and what you owe is your net worth. And as far as the game is concerned, from my calculation, he is worth not only not anywhere near $10 million, I don't even think he's worth anywhere near $3 million or maybe even $1 million just from what he's mentioned.
You know what? In his head, though, I think he thinks he's worth a lot more than he is.
Yeah. And to be fair, there's a few things that are assets of his that he didn't even mention. You want to try to take a guess on those?
Well, one thing that came to mind was obviously his royalties from his music.
Yep. Ching, ching.
And you can resell those. We actually did an episode on that. I can look up while Johnny takes over for me for a second.
Not only the music royalties, but everything related to it. I mean, technically his name brand, his likeness, even if he owns the domain name, or, you know, if he has any IP, any merch, any like clothing brands or anything, those are all assets that can make him money.
Yeah. So I just looked up episode 58 iLab way back in the day, like 6 years ago. There's a company called Royalty Exchange. You can actually buy pieces of these songs. A lot of time it's not the main artist giving up their royalties because they're usually okay. But a lot of times there's a producer or a writer, things like that, and they'll sell them for, you know, X amount, the current value that they're paying. And it's kind of cool. Like, I bet you could find a song from the game that you could also get paid on as well.
Yeah. And then you can own yourself an asset.
What else were you thinking that he actually has? I mean, we said is just his status as a celebrity. I think you have to put some kind of value on that.
And I think that's it. I mean, I can't think of anything else, but, you know, I'm not hating on the game in any way, but this was a great example of how people talk about what they own and how people get confused. And end up broke.
I don't think a guy like the game, though, has really any other choice but to do what he does. Because if you're a rapper, you need to flash the cash, show it off, or at least pretend that you have it. He can't be just a guy that rolls up in a Toyota Prius and in a Hanes t-shirt, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, there's much cheaper ways to maintain that image. I mean, for how many years did we not see 50 Cent, like, even outside his house? He people were making fun of him, saying like in the club, like he ain't never in the club.
Yeah, that's true. And or a lot of these rappers talking about being from the hood and they're in their, you know, $30 million double gated community.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, if you're in the hood, if that's your stick, just live, you know, in the hood or live in a normal house that you paid off in cash, buy a duplex or triplex, rent out the other two units, live in your unit, and then, you know, just earn your money through royalties, through making music. And anytime you need to make a music video, go out and rent a Ferrari, rent a Lamborghini, you know, get some movie cash, flash that, like, it take all the photos, you know, you need, and that's it. Like, you don't need to go out, you know, to actual public nightclubs and throw stacks of cash around. It's not necessary.
And I just thought about this too. Like, they always have a ton of security around them too. You got to pay all those guys. You got to have your crew around you. That's where a lot of these guys get in trouble too. They're always trying to, they got their friends kind of leeching off them and they feeling like they got to take care of guys from back in the day. And it all starts to add up really quick.
Yeah. So that's the entourage. And, you know, there's other ways to take care of them, right? Instead of just paying them a huge salary every month just to hang out with you. You can help them start a business. You can help them start a brand. You know, you can give them leverage, promote their products. And if anything, that becomes another asset because you can be a partial owner in all their businesses. I'm sure they'll be all happy to give you half or at least, you know, 10-20% for helping them launch.
It's interesting. I know this doesn't like apply to everybody, but there's definitely people out there that came from like humble beginnings and then they become successful. And it's got to be really hard to say no to like people back in the day that are like, look at you got all this money and I'm struggling over here. Like, I don't know. How do you handle that?
Well, for me, I was like, hey, while I was coming up, I was talking about everything I was doing. Like, you know, I posted, you know, weekly updates on my Facebook. You could have followed it.
You could have did the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, you could have done the same. Instead, you know, you're out drinking, partying while I was hustling. I was working.
Yeah, I think that's one thing. You shouldn't feel bad for your own success, for one.
You know, it's not my fault. I'm such a good rapper, guys.
We got to lay down some beats after this, Johnny.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, this was fun to talk about. I hope all of you have either learned something or at least given your own situation a thought and maybe recategorize some of those potential liabilities that you thought were assets.
Yeah. And if we missed any like items that feel like assets on the surface, but are really liabilities, you should share them with us. Best way to do that is on the Boss Lounge. You can go to investlikeaboss.com, click the link to join that, or join our Patreon and you get access to years of stuff. We actually just did a really good mastermind call with our patrons. And if you want to get in on that and so much more, including our quarterly updates, which are coming next week. I can't believe another quarter is already gone. You can get that all and more when you join Patreon. So go to investlikeaboss.com. It starts at just $5 a month and you'll get instant access to all that content.
So last question before we go, what is your favorite asset and your favorite liability that you own?
My favorite liability I guess, is my car, because I need it and it helps me make other money, even though it is a liability. And I just spent a lot of money getting it fixed. My favorite asset is one that I'm hopefully owning soon because I'm trying to buy a condo. Otherwise, I don't have like a giant physical asset. Everything I have is digital.
Well, I mean, it could be digital. What's your favorite digital asset?
I'm so diversified. I got stuff all over the place. I can't pick favorites. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you mine. Mine's my Vanguard account with all my index funds. I love logging into that, seeing how much it grows over the years. It's zero responsibility. I never have to touch it. I never have to maintain it. It's just there. So by far, my favorite asset that makes me money every single month, whether the market is down or not, because it pays dividends, is my Vanguard funds.
I'll agree with that. That's why I've been switching a lot of my account into dividend producing funds. And every, you know, I'll log in every few days. I'm like, ooh, I got a few more dollars in cash here. What is this from? Ooh, a dividend. I earned that while sleeping. It's amazing.
All right. And what would you think my favorite liability is? A physical one.
I think I know. Is it colored white? Your Porsche Cayenne?
You know, you would think it would be. Actually, that's probably the thing that gives me the most stress, especially when I'm not around. But I like looking at it. I like having it, but it's not my favorite. It kind of just, it's kind of more of a pain in the ass to have.
Actually, I know what it is, Johnny, and it might not even be what you're going to say, because it's mine too, now that I think about it. And it's probably the majority of people listening to this podcast, because they're probably using it to listen to this podcast right now. Your smartphone.
I don't even calculate that as a liability or an asset, but it's just something I have. But I guess it's sad if you guys are putting this under your asset category. That's sad. But also, if you have a monthly payment plan on your new iPhone 15, because you didn't have $1,000 up front to buy it, but you're like, I can afford $50 a month, that is a liability that you should not be having.
I just pre-ordered mine. Apple, you're welcome if your stock goes up.
Oh, God. So I would have to say my favorite physical asset, my Hugo Boss polo collection.
Your collection of one?
Yeah. Now, I have a bunch. I bought them in Turkey. They're all fake. But no, I would say my primary residence, my house. My rental, you know, is an actual asset because I make money from it, but it's such a pain in the ass. It's not my favorite. But the one I live in, even though I know it's a liability, I have to take care of it, to maintain it, I have to pay bills every month, it's something I'm actually using. I'm actually living in it. I'm enjoying it. So I understand it's a bunch of money kind of just tied up, but I don't have a mortgage on it or anything. So, you know, and it happens to be in a war zone, but it's still by far my favorite liability. It's worth it to me.
Yeah, and that's your home. I mean, it's like you're in a war zone and you still want to call it home. So it obviously means something to you.
Yeah, but absolutely, it is a liability. If I didn't have this, I'd be in Thailand scuba diving right now with not a care in the world. But since I own this, it's like I'm here. So,
all right. Did you hear that, audience? Yeah. The lesson is don't buy real estate. No.
Yeah. Well, it's been fun. Thank you for the chat. Thank you to the game. Please don't copyright strike us for this. We definitely talked about it, so I think that's fair use.
Yeah, and totally not hating on the game. I think he's an awesome dude, and who knows? He could have money stashed away somewhere that he just doesn't want to talk about because he is getting sued.
Yeah. So, you know, 10 million? Inaccurate. Inaccurate. See you guys in the next one.
Thanks for listening to the Best Lego Boss podcast. Join our mailing list at investlegoboss.com to get exclusive access to our insider investment portfolios and our private members forum.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Tell your friends and leave us a review in the iTunes store. It helps more than you know. See you guys next week.